Insights from the Sleeper Wire Fantasy Football Show will help you win your fantasy football championship. Sleeper Wire, Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sleeper Wire on Dash Talk.
Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show for Tuesday, October 24th, 2017. I am producer Steve, your host today. I got Professor Chris with me. What's up, Professor? How was your week in fantasy?
You know, it was pretty good. I think I'm going to go 8-4, depending on how well Ertz and Alshon perform tonight. What about you?
I don't want to talk about it right now. I'm just had some teams just completely fail on me the last 2 weeks. So I'm actually going to be looking forward to your advice on waiver wire targets today, because I got to make some changes to get back in that winning column. Guys, we're going to cover some news. Then we're going to go through the games from this weekend and talk about those waiver wire targets, talk about guys that we saw that we caught our eye, performances that you can count on, and other performances that we think, hey, it might just been a flash in a pan. Let's get started with some news. All right, first item up, Carson Palmer will have surgery on a broken arm and will miss 8 weeks. Drew Stanton has been named the starter for week 9 for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Professor, the Cardinals are a tough one. I know a lot of people are holding on to David Johnson, but at this point, with Drew Stanton coming in, I mean, is it a significant hit to Fitzgerald, John Brown, and everybody else, even Adrian Peterson now? Is there any reason that you're excited about this switch?
No, not at all. I think everybody except Larry Fitzgerald and maybe Adrian Peterson, if they start giving him the carries again like they did the first game, are going to be fantasy irrelevant, not even worth having, and I think you can probably drop him. Fitzgerald is a guy who I would look to trade, and if you're going to get something for him, it would be for this week. Maybe you have a Cardinals homer, or maybe the name Larry Fitzgerald will lure him in, but I would be looking to trade Fitzgerald.
Yeah, trade him away, and I'm guessing you might want to start some defenses against the Cardinals. It's not looking good. Andrew Luck isn't going to practice. It's not because he doesn't want to. It's just because he's not physically able to. They're not planning on putting him in the IR spot, though. So if he gets healthy, he'll play. As the resident Colts fan, how's the outlook realistically here for Andrew Luck this season?
You know, wish for the best, prepare for the worst. I think that's how it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still confident that we are going to see Andrew Luck play, but I've given up trying to guess when that's going to be. Nobody knows. I would actually assume that Jim Irsay knows, and he's just messing with people.
Somebody knows, but for fantasy players, I mean, it's killing us. It's killing us.
Right.
You're starting Brissett until this foreseeable future, and you really only feel good about T.Y. Hilton, and I don't know how good you feel about him every week. He didn't have a great week this week. Jay Cutler fractured a couple ribs on a hit. And so Matt Moore will be starting at quarterback for the next 2-3 weeks for the Dolphins. He came in and actually got the win. Used Kenny Stills a lot. Had to like that. Are you picking up Matt Moore on waivers as a flyer or maybe even a two-quarterback league?
No, I don't think – well, in a two-quarterback league, I'm going to change my answer to yes. But he's a decent streaming option. I only say that because he's thrown a couple touchdowns – at least two touchdowns – the last four games that he's played. Remember when he came in last year in week 14, I believe, he threw four touchdowns. Yeah. So the guy can get it done. I think this is an upgrade for almost the whole offense.
Is he kind of like in the Brian Hoyer style of serviceable quarterback?
Yeah, I would put him around in there.
Okay. Yep. Any particular weapons that you think he might use more or less? Obviously looking Stills' way a lot. Does this hurt anybody or raise anybody's value on the Dolphins?
Well, it raises Stills' value significantly, especially if Devontae Parker isn't going to be able to play this coming week either. And this is a little piece of, you know, something that's going to be in this week's great debate when we have Kenny Stills versus Deontay Thompson, is that Kenny Stills has scored at least one touchdown the last five games Matt Moore has played.
Nice. Okay. All right. So great debate coming out Tuesday. Make sure to listen to that if you're checking for waiver wire targets. Delanie Walker suffered a bone bruise, a foot bruise, and had to use crutches to get around after the game. This is tough. This is tough for that offense. It's just kind of not seemed like it's got it together. They just don't have that groove yet. Does this help DeMarco Murray value? Does this help Rishard Matthews value? And they're talking about getting Davis back in the flow after the bye.
You know, I don't really think this helps or hurts anybody because this is just a bruise on his foot, and he's got 2 weeks now to get ready for it, to get back back into game shape. Not that he's out of game shape, but, you know, to be ready to play. All right. So I think a bone bruise or wherever it is, a foot bruise, yeah, he was on crutches to get around, but I think in 2 weeks he's going to be good to go, and then the offense is going to be about the same.
But you're not dropping him. Keep him through the bye. Don't drop Delanie Walker.
Yeah, he's still top five.
Mike Wallace left Sunday's game with a concussion after a nasty hit to the head. He has had a couple games, had a couple not good games, and Baltimore offense in general just does not look like they got it together. Time to just say goodbye to Mike Wallace for now and let him float, pick up a high-value waiver target.
Yeah, I do think it is time that if you need somebody to pick up, then you can probably drop him. But I think this raises Jeremy Maclin a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And yep. Jeremy Maclin actually was on the waiver wire in a couple of leagues that I'm in. I scooped him up right away. I couldn't believe somebody dropped him. But they had, just lost faith in his health or something. That's a hard start, though. Any Baltimore wide receiver, to me, is a difficult start to make. You kind of have to be forced into that situation. But I see where you're going. DeShone Kizer, again, benched, this time for Cody Kessler. The Browns are in a failure spiral. They don't know what to do at quarterback. So keep starting defenses against them because they're guaranteed interceptions. Is anybody on the offense, Crowell still hasn't broken out. I'm losing complete faith in him. Duke Johnson's like the only guy I'm actually looking at possibly starting outside of a super deep league where I might have a wide receiver or something.
Yeah, I think this is good for the Browns. I thought Cody Kessler should have been the starter from the beginning of the season, and I think he's the best that they have. He's by no means a superstar, but I do think he's the best for that offense if they want to win games, and I think this is a good move.
Here's my question, though. They've been switching out, like, okay, you're not doing well, you're benched, somebody else comes in. All right, you're not doing well, you're benched. Oh, and now you get to start again. Assuming I'm in a super deep two-quarterback league, Cody Kessler's available. Is he actually going to hold on to this job for the rest of the season? I mean, they're not going to win anything. Is this the time where they say, okay, let's just let him do it, see what he can do?
No, I have very little faith in the Browns sticking with one quarterback for 9 consecutive games.
All right.
So, I don't think they're going to stick with Kessler the rest of the season. I think they're going to keep flipping back and forth.
All right. So the carousel continues at the Factory of Sadness there in Cleveland. Oh, look at this. This is nice news. Teddy Bridgewater is eligible to play, but will not play week 8 against the Browns. So this is really great news. It's nice to hear him getting healthy. Hopefully he'll be back on the field. Is this a guy that you see increasing the value of that Minnesota offense if he indeed does come back sometime later in the season?
No, absolutely not. I think he takes away value from everybody in that offense. The last season that he played, he threw 14 touchdowns. That's it. Not in, a 5-game stretch. He threw 14 touchdowns the whole season.
Wow.
I don't see how going back to him after missing a season and a half is going to be beneficial for anybody.
So he's more of just like, just in case Case Keenum gets hurt, they got a warm body to throw in there.
Right. Case Keenum gives him a better chance to win than Bridgewater does. And that was, if you took Bridgewater 2 years ago, Case Keenum still gives them a better shot to win.
Wow. See, I was feeling good, a feel-good story, a little optimism, and then Professor Chris got to come in and throw the cold ice water of statistics in my face and just ruin my day. No, so
don't get me wrong. I like Teddy Bridgewater, and it would be great to see him out there again. But for fantasy purposes, it would destroy – maybe Diggs would still be okay, but I think it would destroy almost everybody's value.
Wow. Okay. So that's good to know. I mean, appreciate you telling me that. All right. That is
so. Go pick him up, Steve.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yep, shit. Play him this week.
I probably will. That is it for the news until anything else comes out. Relatively injury-free weekend for the most part. It's been, I mean, there were injuries, but not as many. But we are going to cover these games this weekend, give you some fantasy tips and relevance on what we saw, any waiver targets you got to mark down to pick up Tuesday and Wednesday. All right, Thursday Night Football gave us actually a very good game this week. The Chiefs and the Raiders battled down to the end. The Raiders defeated the Chiefs. Amari Cooper showed up. Hey, congratulations if you started him. Nobody...
About time.
Nobody would have seen this kind of game coming from him. But, all right, straight to the point. Is he a must-start now, or was this the top of the hill on a roller coaster season?
You know, I don't know if this makes him a must-start, but it makes him somebody that you want to put back in your lineup again. The Raiders do have a tough matchup this week against the Bills. The Bills have been pretty good. But I think, you know, this is the first real, like, bye week issue we've had, or bye week, scenario we've had this season. Mm-hmm. We've had four teams on bye, two teams on bye, two teams on bye. We have six teams on bye this week. Yeah. You might not be stuck with any good options, and Cooper, I think, is a fine play if you have players on bye.
Yeah, I think so, too. I a lot of people didn't think he would have that good of a game against the Chiefs, but they really seemed to get it together. All right, DeMarcus Robinson from Kansas City. Been kind of having a pretty good week or two here, sneakily. Is he somebody you're looking at on waivers, Professor?
As of right now, I think he should really just stay on waivers. He might be someone to keep an eye on, but that offense really runs through Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt. Nobody else is really involved enough to make me want to go pick somebody up right now, because it seems like one week it's Robinson, another week it's Wilson, another week it's Thomas. So anybody any given week I feel can have a, you know, have a productive outing with a lot of targets, but and this just happened to be Robinson.
All right, so he's kind of that one of those rotation pieces you can't predict very well. Vikings defeated the Ravens. This was a surprise. We saw a little Latavius Murray action. Is he suddenly now in an equal timeshare with McKinnon, or was this just sort of like opportunity came and he had a big run?
You know what? I don't think this really changes anything for McKinnon. Murray did get 18 carries to McKinnon's 14, but you're right. He did break off a really big run. But this actually makes Jerick McKinnon someone I am really interested in trying to trade for, because if you look, he's still got 14 carries. He's still involved. He got 16 carries a few weeks ago, then 15 carries, 14 carries. I think if he's going to get around the mid-teens in carries with his involvement in the passing game, he's going to be someone that you're going to want, and you might be able to go to somebody who's freaking out and thinking it's Latavius Murray now and get him real cheap.
Saints defeated the Packers, and this one, man, if you were a Green Bay talent owner, skills position owner, you had a rough day. I don't know. Can we blame it all on Brent Hundley, or was it just a team failure?
I think Brent Hundley is a big part of it. I think you can also credit the Saints defense. They've been playing a lot better than I think people, including us, gave them credit for.
Yeah,
but I've been wondering, is it time to talk about how Ty Montgomery is no longer relevant?
I mean, it's looking that way, and I don't know if it's just recovery from the injury or if Aaron Jones has completely taken his job away. And especially with this quarterback change, you would think that you know, a fresh quarterback, a new quarterback, would look to the check down running back, would look to the tight end more, would look to those short out routes to kind of just, you know, as a safety blanket. We didn't see that this week, and I don't know if it's going to go that way or not.
Fortunately, the Packers are in their bye this week, so maybe we just needed a little more time for Montgomery to get healthy.
Yeah, that, and maybe they can work through some, you know, just some change up their plans a little bit, change up some plays, just to make Hundley feel like he just didn't look comfortable. He didn't look ready. He didn't look comfortable at all in the pocket. So he's got to gain some confidence, I think, over this bye week. Hopefully they can install some stuff that makes sense for him and his skill set. I don't know. I'm personally not selling Jordy yet. Are you at that point? Or are you holding on to him? Skills outweigh a bad game.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't do it either. And another reason why is that if you're willing to sell Jordy, people don't want to pay for him.
Right.
You know, you're not going to – I don't think you're going to get a good return for Jordy Nelson, because not a whole lot of people just offer up Jordy Nelson, hey, this guy's on the trade block, without there being something wrong. or people suspecting something. So I don't think you're going to be able to trade him for much, but I do think as he and Hundley work together, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not selling him. In fact, I'd try to buy him if I could. If I could talk somebody into selling him, I definitely would. Jets lost to the Dolphins. This was a game down to the wire. We already talked about the Matt Moore, Kenny Stills connection. On the Jets side, McCown becoming a pretty decent, serviceable quarterback, throwing touchdowns. What do you think about this guy? Is this Jets team for real? Are they just forget about the fact that they're supposed to tank this year and not win a game? What's going on?
Yeah, they're really bad at losing. that's what it is. I think they just had a couple good games in a row, but Josh McCown has shown that he can be a streaming option.
Yeah, and ASJ is becoming a tight end that you could start safely every week, too. I mean, they got some skill on that team.
Yeah, he's been getting a lot of touchdowns.
So these guys are for real. If they're floating out on your waivers and you need help, especially with the heavy buys this week, they're an option. So with the Jets at home against the Falcons, who just lost handily and just looked disorganized as hell to the Patriots, I think the Jets could actually win this week. These might be guys you could start.
It'll be interesting to watch how Jarvis Landry plays with Matt Moore, how often Landry gets targeted. We know he was getting peppered with targets from Cutler. I want to see what he does with Matt Moore.
Bears defeated the Panthers, and it was mostly the Bears' defense. Trubisky is not a relevant fantasy starter at the moment. Tariq Cohen seems to have lost a lot of his value. God, I don't even feel good about starting Cam Newton anymore. This game was rough, very low scoring. Professor Chris, your takeaways from these two teams here?
Well, my takeaways is that it's really hard to want anybody in either one of these offenses. And Mitch Trubisky, I don't remember the last time I saw a quarterback play the whole game and only throw 7 passes.
I know, right? They're keeping him safe. Obviously, they're trying to keep him comfortable, slowly bring him into the offense, which is good. But Jordan Howard is the only guy you can start on that team right now. And possibly the defense. They're playing well. McCaffrey didn't have quite a good game, and I think we were pretty high on him too. Anything you'd change about the Panthers that you own right now? I mean, are you still starting them in terms of Benjamin, McCaffrey, and Funchess, and Cam? Or are there these guys that you're kind of like, they might be falling into flex territory?
I think Cam is a matchup streamer at this point. I still really like Kelvin Benjamin. He still got you. He only had 3 catches, but he still got you 65 yards. I still like him quite a bit. McCaffrey in a PPR, I mean, he had an okay day. He didn't kill your team, but, you know, was it 46 total yards isn't what you're looking for someone that you're starting. But you're right. It's Jordan Howard, McCaffrey, and Benjamin are really the only guys that most people are starting regularly.
Yeah, there's nobody on waivers that from either of these teams that I'm looking at this week. Nobody caught my eye, really. And you're right, Cam is a difficult start for me nowadays. Unfortunately, I'm stuck in a few leagues that I have to start him. Oh, the Rams. What a game from them. Beating up the Cardinals in London. And this was a beautiful game. Just destroyed them on all fronts. The Rams defense played well. Todd Gurley owners are happy. Even against what everybody thought would be a relatively strong defense, still ground out over 100 yards for you. And Robert Woods had a good game. Sammy Watkins, once again, very hard to believe that he just cannot score points. Waiver wire targets, I don't know. There's really not a lot to talk about. We talked about the Cardinals players. You're not really super comfortable keeping any of them except for Fitz. Anybody on the Rams that you're looking for on waiver wires this week?
Well, I think you can probably start finding Sammy Watkins on waiver wires, and I don't believe he belongs there at all. So if he's there, I would absolutely pick him up. Robert Woods seems to be getting in the mix a little bit more, so he's also a good target.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp had a really good game as well. He's probably going to be owned, but you're saying don't drop Sammy, because I think a lot of people are probably thinking about, man, if I just need somebody that can actually score me 10 points a week, I might have to drop Sammy Watkins. You're saying hold on to him?
I am saying hold on to him. I'm not saying play him, but I'm saying hold on to him. If I saw him on any waiver wire, I would pick him up.
All right, now the big question. Any temptation to trade Todd Gurley away right now?
No, none.
You're keeping him for the rest of the season?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. You're going to have to come to me with an offer that blows me away in order to get Todd Gurley.
All right, because I'm seeing this question a lot. I'm sorry, somebody asked me, should I trade AJ Greenaway now? I'm thinking to myself, why would you trade AJ Greenaway? The guy said, well, I'm worried about injuries, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to ask this on some of these, you know, players that have been playing really well. Is it time to trade them, or you just hold on to them? I don't think you trade them away either. The Buffalo Bills and the Buccaneers had a shootout. O.J. Howard kind of took over at tight end, scored 2 touchdowns for you. LeSean McCoy, finally. Scores a touchdown. Professor Chris, you got to be happy about that. I know you're a big-time McCoy fan. Anything else in this game that caught your eye in terms of, like, waiver wire targets we should start looking at?
Yeah, it was – you know, it's always great to see a superstar player getting back in the mix, and I was really happy to see LeSean McCoy, you know, actually doing something. I know a lot of people were freaking out, and, you know, I saw a whole bunch of crap trade offers. Like, should I trade McCoy, you know, for just some scrub? And people were actually telling other people to do it. And I don't get why. He's still getting the work. The touchdown production hasn't been there, but all the work has been there. And that finally paid off for you this week.
Deontay Thompson. Talk to me about Deontay Thompson. He's a waiver wire target. Looked pretty good this week, right?
I will say that, yes, he is a waiver wire target, but that's all I'm going to say because the great debate this week is Kenny Stills versus Deontay Thompson, so I'm not going to give it all away.
Nobody's rushing out there to add O.J. Howard, right? I mean, Cameron Brate's still the main tight end there.
Yeah, of course, and he still had 6 catches for 60 yards. This is just a very tight end heavy game, and I don't think you're going to see O.J. Howard vulturing too many Cameron Brate touchdowns.
All right, the last guy I want to ask about, Jordan Matthews came back for this game. Didn't have a huge game, but he's back on the field. He is on probably a lot of waiver wires because people just got fed up with holding him with the injury for so long. Is he a guy you want to grab right now?
Pick him up.
Got to. Okay. Jags, I'm sorry. The Colts, they didn't show up. This is a bad game. Professor Chris, just a letdown game. I'm sorry for your team's loss. They just didn't look good. The waiver wire targets out of this game. Is there anybody besides TJ Yeldon that you absolutely have to pick up this week?
Oh, I'm not picking up TJ Yeldon.
I said that with as much sarcasm as I could manage.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. No. Just had to make sure.
He probably will not be active for the next game if Fournette comes back. I'm not thinking he will be.
Yeah, this was just pathetic, man. Just absolutely terrible. It was awful to watch. Not one bit of it was fun. T.Y. Hilton actually came out at the end of the game and was talking, you know, kind of talking trash about the offensive line. We got to take some pride up front. They have to block better.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, I'm glad someone's calling them out because they were terrible. 10 sacks.
I mean, at this rate, though, the Jaguars' D is a start. I think we talked about Hearns and Lee as being pretty good starts this week. Bortles, man, it just seems like they're not going to let him throw very much. So that doesn't make me feel good about ever using him as a flyer. But that's a run and defense situation in the Jaguars' side. But the Colts, man, I'm torn. I don't want to start Brissett or Hilton anymore. But I think I might have to. Am I correct?
You know, I don't think you have to start Brissett. Even in a 2-quarterback league, I don't think you have to, just with how the offensive line has been playing. But at the same time, Hilton is still a guy who I would have a really hard time getting out of my lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about him the other day, just off the air. That he's, what did you say, fourth in receiving yards up to this week, at least.
Yep, going into week seven. Fourth in receiving yards.
So, I mean, shit, if you can talk the T.Y. Hilton owner into a deal, he might be really cheap after this week and just say, man, look how badly the Colts got beat up. He might part with him for a song. The Titans and the Browns, a surprisingly low-scoring game. Great for kickers. Ryan Sukup had a good game. But Isaiah Crowell, once again, sort of failed to show up. And the Browns lost an offensive lineman on a play, some elbow issues, and he's out for the season. The Titans, however, how confusing is this backfield situation? And why is Rishard Matthews not scoring touchdowns?
You know, Rishard Matthews has the pleasure of having a team's number one corner on him. Now, McCourty was out this week, so I know that wasn't an issue, but this was just a terrible all-around performance on both sides of the ball. I mean, Marcus Mariota, I thought, was going to have a field day against Cleveland.
Yeah. Everybody thought this was going to be a Titans easy win, lots of points. It just turned out not to be. The backfield looks to be like a complete split now. Murray's health going into the game was in question. His health after the game might be in question. They come back from a bye. What do you say? Any idea what they're going to do coming back from this bye?
I still think it's DeMarco Murray's job. I don't think Henry's much of a threat to him.
Yeah, see, people are talking. They're like, oh, they just give it to Henry. Just give it to Henry full time. But, yeah, I think
people
you're right.
Don't agree with that.
No, it's going to be confusing. And then if you don't own both and you just own one, it's going to be even more difficult. So you're saying Murray's the guy to hold on to, though?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's talk about the Cowboys and the 49ers. This was a Zeke Elliott day. This was a Dak Prescott day. Nobody was telling you not to start either of these guys. In fact, I think we said Prescott's a safe start, top five rest of the season, and he certainly went out and proved it. Not a lot of action, but he got the touchdowns and he got the scores. Now, what happened to the 49ers?
Well, the 49ers are just bad. That's really all there is to it. That's what happened. They're just not a good team. And plus, starting CJ Beathard, he's just not an upgrade over Brian Hoyer, but I think they want to see what he has, and right. They're just a bad team.
So does this completely destroy or significantly destroy Pierre Garçon's value?
I think so, yeah.
Damn. Okay. Well, this is a tough one. It's going to be a tough year for the 49ers because nobody really gave the Cowboys defense a lot of credit. They looked okay this week, though. They looked okay. They were a good streaming option for you. But I think you could start defenses against the Browns, the 49ers, pretty comfortably for rest of season.
And the Cardinals,
absolutely. Seahawks defeated the Giants. The Giants just couldn't get anything going. Once again, Evan Engram was the guy they threw to, but didn't see a lot out of Darkwa, didn't see a lot out of Gallman. And the Seahawks, I mean, they looked like the Seahawks. So anything value-wise, waiver wire out of this thing, it looked like Tyler Lockett was starting to get involved a little bit more. You looking at him on the waiver wires at all?
No, I don't think he's someone that you're going to want to pick up right now. These might be guys that you are interested in watching, but as far as the waiver wire, I don't really see a whole lot that comes out of this game.
All right, let's move on to the Chargers defeating the Broncos, actually shutting out the Broncos.
We had three shutouts this week.
It was a crazy low-scoring week. Great for defenses and kickers week, that's for sure. So Keenan Allen did score a touchdown. Travis Benjamin scores a touchdown. It wasn't a great game for your skill position on the Chargers. Even worse game for your skill position on the Broncos. Dirty Jobs Mike is on a message board with us here telling everybody, sell your Broncos, start all your players against Broncos defense. He is completely fed up with his team. Do you feel the same way about this Broncos team?
If you're talking about every single player on the offense, I think you still can keep Demaryius Thomas.
Right.
I still like CJ Anderson. I know a lot of people are down on him. He's had a couple down weeks, but I still like him. But aside from that, maybe when Emmanuel Sanders comes back, it's just too much to speculate on. But DT and CJ Anderson, I would hold on to.
What about this Derby fellow?
Yeah, so AJ Derby, he did get six passes for 66 yards, but I don't see him being involved enough in the offense moving forward to, you know, really have any relevance anytime soon.
All right, Chargers, anything over there? I mean, Phillip Rivers was a difficult guy to start this week, and I don't know what else.
But he did have a good week.
He did have a good week. He's hard to trust, or he's hard to start and feel good about.
You know, it's weird to say because he's having actually a pretty good season. He's had two dud weeks, but he's been pretty solid for you for the most part. I think it's just depending on the matchup for him. Denver's just a super tough team to play. And fortunately, they've already played Denver twice.
Yeah, so that's out of the way. You got to feel a little bit better about that. On Sunday night football game, wow, Tom Brady is so good. Patriots just destroyed the Falcons. They just made the Falcons look like chumps, 23-7. I mean, this was one of those games where the Patriots seemed to involve everybody. Brandon Cooks got involved with that little shuffle pass. Chris Hogan did good work for you. All three running backs got some touches. The Falcons finally saw Julio Jones get in the end zone. But what the heck am I supposed to do with the rest of my Falcons players? Tevin Coleman, I don't know. What are they doing with him? Waiver target, should I dump him? Should I keep him? What do I got to do?
I don't think you can dump Tevin Coleman because he's a guy that if anyone saw him on waivers, they would try to pick him up right away. He's a guy that people would be totally okay having on your team, but I don't necessarily think he's starting going forward. Matt Ryan at this point, I think, is just a streamer. I don't know if you want to drop him, but this might be matchup dependent, and I only say that because I thought the matchup here was so good with New England being, you know, one of the worst defenses this year, but this was just terrible.
They don't look that way. They didn't look that way this game. And
maybe that's the whole primetime game with the Patriots.
Well, and to me, the Falcons just couldn't convert on third down. And they just seemed not to be in the right rhythm to play and win a game. Like, they went for a couple fourth down conversions, and they were being aggressive. It just wasn't. Something wasn't clicking. So I totally agree. Matt Ryan, man, I'm not starting him with a lot of confidence, but obviously you got to start your skilled players. Any clarity? Did you see any clarity on the Patriots running backs, or is this going to be typical Patriots running back committee that, you know, might have a guy that does well, might have a guy that doesn't do well?
You know, it just more so solidifies me that James White is almost always going to be an option for you. But as far as Gillislee and Lewis, they're still both getting in the mix as well. So you can't really say, you know, any one person over any other. But if I had to choose one Patriot running back, it would be James White.
Yeah, me too. Especially in PPR. I got to start him with confidence every week. For me, I'm starting to buy in a little bit to Dirty Jobs' take on Deion Lewis. He does look like the most dynamic runner there. But it's true. They're going to give the ball to the other two guys. Burkhead as well has got involved. So, yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one, James White. All right, that is it for the show today, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Head over to sleeperwire.com for our rankings that come out Wednesday, our podcast, and you can also submit questions through the site. If you have any more questions about waiver targets, be sure to hit us up on the Sleeperbot or Fantasy Life app. You can find me at SW Steve. You can find Professor Chris at Professor Chris on both apps. You can also find us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show and at Professor Chris. We are online all the time waiting to take your questions. And if you have ever found our podcast rankings or anything we do helpful, please go check out our cause. Our buddy Rob has chronic Lyme disease, and we're trying to raise money to help him get the treatments. You can check that out. Go to the Our Cause link on our website, sleeperwire.com. Don't forget to tune in to the great debate where the two players this week are
Kenny Stills and Deontay Thompson.
Professor Chris, thank you for joining me for this short but informational show.
Yeah, had a good time.
I did too. All right, guys, tune in Wednesday for the live Mail Sack show. We'll be taking your calls and answering your questions live. Thanks again for listening. Have a great night.
Peace.
Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.